find slow speeds in that area, down to about 15 miles an hour, as a matter of fact. On Highway 101 northbound, you're going to find slow and go traffic right around Victoria Lane there. And, well, that should just about do it. Your KSCO Central Coast weather for tonight, partly cloudy this evening, then becoming mostly cloudy. Patchy fog after midnight, lows in the mid-50s, south winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, expect mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming sunny, patchy fog in the morning, highs in the upper 60s and light winds becoming southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour in the afternoon. Your boater's forecast for the Monterey Bay, west winds 5 to 15 knots, decreasing to 5 knots after midnight. Wind waves 1 to 3 feet in the evening, becoming less than 2 feet, and a western swell of 2 to 3 feet at 8 seconds, and, of course, some patchy fog after midnight. Currently, it's 76 degrees in San Jose, 71 in Boulder Creek, 65 in Watsonville, 67 in Salinas, and 63 degrees in Monterey. Right now, outside the KSCO studios, it is 64 degrees. And now stay tuned for It's the Way of Love, live.
It's the Way of Love, live.
Hey, 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 of love.
The variety show committed to bringing you positive stories and life-affirming messages.
Combined with enough inspirational music and satirical comedy to make it worth everyone's while.
With informative interviews and dynamic guests, we present the best of what our global community has to offer.
In a format we lovingly call short attention span theater, we combine vaudevillian styles with futuristic sound effects technology for maximum entertainment value.
Together we focus on the most important issues of the day by exploring informed and enlightened approaches wherever we can find them.
Using serialized fiction, we bring to life great stories from the past and sci-fi possibilities of the future.
Thank you for joining us in our multimedia foray into the positive possibilities of our planet.
Hang on, you never know what to expect.
Here we go. It's the Way of Love, live.
Can you wake what's sleeping deep inside you? Or will you be keeping it tucked up safe? I can tell you that it's better out than in. I can tell you now's the time to begin. Some never lose. Life's a bottle full of water and sand. Some say you shouldn't shake it up, just let it stand. But I say, loser, look at what you see. Don't sell yourself so we can be free.
Good afternoon to you on this beautiful day in Santa Cruz. And it really is a fabulous day today. It's not too hot. There's a lovely warm breeze. And we're really happy to be here in the KSCO studios on It's the Way of Love Live. You're listening to me, Ruth Copland, and today I've got some great guests. In the second hour, we'll be talking to Michelle Newman, who is a sound healer and medical intuitive. So stay with us for that. That's going to be coming up at 6 o'clock. But in the first hour, we're really lucky to have with us today Maya Schneider. And Maya is the author of a lot of books. His most recent book is Vision for Life, 10 Steps to Natural Eyesight Improvement. And Maya was born with cataracts, glaucoma, astigmatism and nystagmus, which I had to look up, and that is where the eye moves very quickly involuntarily. And after 5 unsuccessful operations, he expected to be blind for life. And as a result of those operations, he also had scar tissue in his eyes. But at 17, he decided that he was not going to accept that. And so he began a regimen of eye exercises and healed himself of congenital blindness. And he holds a PhD in the healing arts for his work with muscular dystrophy. He's carried out over 120,000 clinical hours over 42 years, helping people to prevent blindness and conditions like cataracts and glaucoma by teaching people how to activate the very powerful forces of nature within the body and to improve their vision by connecting to those forces through light movement and relaxation. And Mayer founded a non-profit school for self-healing in San Francisco, and he has two sister schools in Israel and Brazil. He was awarded the Certificate of Honor by San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom for his tireless efforts to improve the quality of life for people with visual and physical limitation. And his technique is called the Mayer-Schneider Method of Self-Healing. And it works through bodywork, movement, massage, breath, and visualization, and tuning into what the body needs. And actually, this year is the 25th anniversary of the publication of his first book, Self-Healing, My Life and Vision, which I love that title, with the vision, meaning his real vision, and also his vision in terms of his dream for helping people and his life. So, without more ado, I'm going to welcome you, Mayer, to the studio. Thank you so much for coming in today.
It's really nice to be here with you, Ruth. And I just want to elaborate for 1 minute of what you said. I was born with cataracts, and cataract is an opacity of the lens. And many people have it in the 60s and 70s. By the way, it's preventable, and it's preventable with eye exercises and with the correct care, which doesn't exist in a normal institution. But if you read my book, Vision for Life, and come to my classes, you'll be able to prevent cataract from happening.
Well, that's great. That was one of the things I was going to ask you, because it just seems like people have just accepted now that we're all going to get them. And
absolutely. And I'll answer the question in due time. But what I want to say is that I was born with it. That's very unusual.
Right.
And the problem with being born with it is that in the first 8 weeks of life, most infants don't look at anything except for the first hour of their life.
Right.
Then everything is so different, so they look. And they develop other capacities. But at the age of 8 weeks, they start to look. If they don't see around that time or time frame, the vision, they basically erase the whole idea of vision for the rest of their life.
Really?
And the part, the visual part, takes other dimensions. For example, you could see that my hearing is very acute.
Yes.
Well, partially it's exactly for that reason. People's ability to sense and to hear becomes good, and it is because the area of the brain that would see is being right now used for hearing and for sensing. And what happened to me is that my surgeries were done wrongfully in two ways. Mm-hmm. One is they were done way too late, because they were done at the age of four. Mm-hmm. And that's long after the brain have already forgotten what seeing is all about. So basically, your brain developed the concept of seeing from the age of 8 weeks to 2.5 years. And at the age of 2.5, the vision of most people is way better than 20/20. If you then are raised in the jungles of the Amazon, 20/20 is nothing to you. You will see much, much more than what people can see with 20/20 vision. If you go to modern living, then the exception is that some people see better than 20/20, but most people see worse than 20/20. And what happened is the surgeries left me with a scar tissue, and the light bounced back. And without a sense of seeing, my two kids were born with cataracts.
Wow.
And they were operated on time. In fact, my two kids right now are on the beach in Capitola, here, enjoying themselves while I'm enjoying myself speaking with you and with your audience. And they were born with cataracts, but their surgery were done at the age of 2 weeks. They even had the little epithelial layer that had to be removed at the age of, and some connective tissue at the age of 6 weeks. But they were ready to see at the age of 8 weeks. And this is a good thing of conventional medicine right now, that they give those infants strong contact lenses to see from 2 feet ahead of them, which is all that infants see at the age of 8 weeks, and slowly they reduce the prescription. Now, normally, medicine is so happy that they see between 30% and 40% of normal vision when they grow up. My kids see 100%. My daughter drove her car here to go to the beach from San Francisco, right? So my kids see 100%. My son sees a little bit better than 100% with correction, and 80% even without correction, even though he doesn't have his natural lens. So their vision amazes everyone. It's out of the charts of everyone.
And you worked with them, presumably.
I did. Yes. The combination of eye exercises and the surgery on time made a very big difference, as the brain was able to develop, in spite of the fact that they're lacking the natural lens, and an implant was not put instead of the natural lens, as it was compensated with contacts, with glasses. They see without glasses better than any kid who was born with their condition sees with them. Now, what happened is, I had 1% vision. I was reading Braille until I was 17. And today I have 70% vision. For example, I drove here myself. I drove to Santa Cruz, and then I normally drove to Aptos to see my friend Jan. And I drove here myself, and I'll drive back tomorrow to San Francisco and then to San Anselmo. So I definitely see well enough to drive. The DMV suspected me because I only see 70% of normal vision. It's not correctable tomorrow, and I cannot benefit from correction at this point because I'm way beyond. It used to be that my vision was 1% normal vision, and I saw 5% with strong correction. Now I see 70% with no correction. I drive, I read, and I write, and I see next to the 20/20 level. I don't see the 20/20 print, but close to my face, I see next to the 20/20 print, which is really interesting. And my vision from far, for those who don't know, is about 20/70 plus, a little bit under 20/60, which is a normal range, basically, when most people who see that with correction, they see 20/20. I cannot correct it. And so the DMV tested me in the daytime and at night and several times and got a slew of analysts to see how I can drive. Finally, they gave up, gave me regular unrestricted driver's license. I drive day and night. I restrict myself sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm in the right lane and I'm in the middle lane and all that.
Yeah.
But the fact that I was told that my parents were reprimanded, my deaf parents were reprimanded. I was born to deaf parents. It's interesting, huh?
Yes,
deaf parents. And my grandmother was reprimanded. She was normal. That I was walking without a guide dog and a cane. And today I read, write, and drive. That is what happened to me. But I had many, many even more exciting cases myself. And the big thing that I want to say, something that you're being told again and again, your vision cannot improve, is wrong. Your vision can improve. I'm not the only case. I'm one out of many cases I can bring up to prove that all that you're being told by your optician, optometrist, and thank God I'm on this wonderful revolutionary program, I want to tell you, your vision can improve. You will never need your glasses if you work to improve your eyes. You will never need to have fatigue in front of the computer if you follow the exercise that I suggest. It's physical and mental. You can work on all of them. We have to create a revolution. It has to come from the bottom up.
Well, that's amazing to think that you would go from 1% vision to 70%. I mean, that I think for most people is just almost unbelievable that you're sitting in front of me, and it's true. So I do want to say to any listeners out there, if you have any questions for Meir with regard to your own sight or his method or anything, please do give us a call here at the show on 479-1080. So we're going to go to a commercial break, and then we'll be back with Meir, and we're going to hear a lot more about his method and how you can help yourselves and the kind of things that you can help too.
So we can be free. Look at all the things you like, all the things you don't. Look and know that you can grow. Oh, look at what you see. Don't sell yourself so you can.
Hi, I'm Lynn Achterberg, and Project Purr is offering free spay-neuter for feral cats to all residents of Santa Cruz County from now through the end of September. Visit us at projectpurr.org or call 423-MEOW. Feeding a stray cat? See too many kittens? Take the next step. Visit us at projectpur.org or call 423-MEOW. Help our community become safe, healthy, happy, and humane for feral cats and kittens. Thanks.
Why does the United States spend the largest percentage of GDP in the world on health care? Why do we have the highest cancer rates on the planet, the highest rates of diabetes, autism, and every other major disease? It all comes down to one thing. We are what we eat. Our food is devoid of nutrition and processed with poisons and additives. Our water is filled with toxic poisons and big pharma runoff. We can turn the tide against those who seek to profit by making and keeping us unhealthy by giving ourselves the nutrients our bodies desperately need. To learn more, go to KSCOhealth.com. The site is literally packed with audio and video featuring top health professionals who don't bow down to big pharma. The fight against servitude starts with you, and you can't stand against the machine if you are sick, tired, and obese. When you visit KSCOhealth.com, be sure to check out the catalog with nearly 400 life-changing products and get free shipping when you sign up for AutoShip.
And right here on KSCO AM 1080, we have Sundays at 4 with Dave Allen.
Need I remind you, Sundays at 4 p.m., music trivia, free prizes, or pauses radio.
I love Dave Allen on AM 1080 KSCO.
Sundays at 4 with Dave Allen.
Right here on AM 1080 KSCO.
Be free. Look at all the things you like.
Hi, you're listening to It's the Way of Love Live with me, Ruth Copland, on KSCO AM 1080. And this hour, we're with Meir Schneider, who is the author of quite a few books, but his most recent book, Vision for Life, 10 Steps to Natural Eyesight Improvement. We've been hearing a bit about Meir's background, how he cured himself of congenital blindness, and ever since then has been working to help other people overcome their sight problems. And he was just saying before the break that, you know, there's a lot of conditions that people feel that can't be helped, and that just isn't true. And I think I was going to say there's this idea, I think, in our society of sort of having something that's sort of out of your control, and then you need things done to you to help the thing that you have. And I think your method is very much about self-empowerment and about taking charge of your own health and your own issues and actually being able to cure and significantly help yourself.
Absolutely. But let me just regress one place, and this is to say that there was a rebellion against that concept that there's nothing we can do with ourselves throughout the ages. Example is in the 60s, there were many people who changed their diets and did exercises, and they were a laughing stock for most people. In fact, people used to call them health freaks. They said that their exercises do nothing good to their body. Today, they're saying exercises are good for memory. Exercises are good for you to not have senility. Exercises are very important for your heart. Every self-respecting cardiologist will tell you, do exercise and modify your diet. That did not happen in the 60s. They would laugh at you. Now, ophthalmologists tell you, don't do exercise for your eyes. It doesn't do anything. They tell you there's nothing you can do for your eyes. They're behind. They're completely, completely behind the time. And the result is that we all suffer, because I think that the treatment that they give us is all symptomatic. For example, whenever you don't see well, you go to the ophthalmologist, they give you glasses. That means they give you crutches for your eyes.
Right.
They don't believe your eyes can get any better.
No.
What they say is, take those glasses because your eyes will never see well again. That is a big mistake. Let's see the real statistics. In the past, most people saw well enough. They did not need glasses. If you, about 50, 60 years ago, were wearing glasses, in school, your classmates would have called you four eyes. They would have called you all kinds of derogatory names because you would be so different. Today, wearing a glasses is like wearing a hat. There's just no difference. Everybody, every second person is wearing them.
Right.
And if you take a look at it, When there was a great amount of literacy and more people were reading books, 25% of the population started to wear glasses from school on. Mm. And at the computer age, more than 55% of the kids are wearing glasses.
Wow.
Take a look at the difference between the Indians in the Amazon, who are considered to be illiterate. 1% of them wears glasses. And in Taiwan, 84% of the kids in school wear glasses.
Goodness.
One versus 84%. So looking from near is hard on the eyes because the lenses of the eyes are flat when you look from far and round when you look from near. The reason why so many people have cataracts because we don't look enough at the distance. And the lens doesn't have its most natural exercises of looking at a distance and then looking from near. And you can prevent your cataract every time that you use a computer for 8 to 10 minutes, look at a distance without lenses, without glasses, wave your hands to the side and look at a distance. And it's hard for people to take their lenses away. I just recently told in our podcast, anyone who wants to look to our website can find it. It's www.self-healing.org. In Brazil, I was 2 Sundays ago, actually, 1 day less than 2 weeks ago, working in a very busy day with one lady who was a neurologist. And she was only 27, which was impressive, a neurologist at the age of 27. But she was so nearsighted that she had bleeding in her retina. The nearsightedness, anyone who understands, was 28 diopters, when the normal nearsightedness is 1.25 diopters.
Wow.
And so she was, it was a great nearsightedness, with very long eye, with stretched retina, with many problems. She's very beautiful. And she came immediately thinking she'll get a massage beside the exercise. She said, I brought a bathing suit. Can I take my clothes off and get a massage? I said, no. First, we're working on your eyes. So the clothes she was willing to take off immediately. That's sometimes an issue for women here when they come and get a treatment. No issue for her. She felt my professionalism immediately. But I told her, no, take your contact lenses off. Oops, there was a resistance.
Mm.
And anyone at home who wears glasses or contact lenses can understand that resistance. I can tell you, I lecture about it at the end of my trip to Brazil a day later, and I told them, you know, she was willing to take her clothes off, but not her contacts. So eventually she took them off.
Yeah.
And she didn't see well. She only saw very poorly. She put immediately her glasses. Then she took the glasses off, and she got used to see without her contact lenses. And she was able to see from a foot away. She started to see clear and clear. And then with the glasses, when we finished the session, she saw even clearer. And she felt first time optimistic that her hemorrhage will stop, because she started to be desperate that she's going to lose her vision in the beginning of her career. This is something that I want to tell of you. Glasses are not necessary. It's what your optometrist tells you. Don't believe him. Get my book, 10 Steps for Natural Vision Improvement. Next week I'm starting a very very comprehensive class on the whole body, which I want to cover here as well, as well as on the eyes. And it's the beginning of my training course. We're approved by the state of California. We're licensed and all that. And we do 10 hours a day, but we work on each other and on ourselves. And we learn how to prevent most eye disease. We learn how to prevent most physical disease. We learn how to improve our body and mental state beyond what we imagine it could be.
I wanted to ask you, looking at your book, which was very interesting, I see that you have 7 principles of healthy vision: deep relaxation, adjusting to light frequencies, looking at details, looking into the distance, expanding your periphery, balanced use of the two eyes, and body and eye coordination. And looking at the different exercises and methods that you recommend, one thing that came to me is that the other thing that's very prevalent in our society is wanting a kind of magic bullet. And I think that, you know, with glasses, with contact lenses, you have a very immediate way to almost feel like you don't have a problem. And also, you need a commitment to the program, don't you? You need to take charge and think, I'm going to do this for myself. So I guess I had 2 questions. One was you know, if someone is wearing contact lenses currently and feels like they can see, so, you know, why would they need to sort of help themselves? What would you say? And also, how do you overcome that sort of disempowered attitude that people have, you know, that they're not willing to put in, you know, an hour a day in order to have perfect vision or whatever?
It's interesting. In my book, Movement for Self-Healing, which is based, published by New World Library, which is based on my book, Self-Healing My Life and Vision, I write for the first few pages about the love that my grandmother had to me. You know, my parents were deaf, and she was lying with me in my hospital beds with the 5 surgeries that I had. And when people ask me, where did I get my discipline, where I worked 13 hours a day on my eyes to build up vision from 1% to 70%, how did it happen? And the answer was, with my grandmother's love to me.
Mm.
Now, let's talk about you and your vision. You know, one thing I've learned in life, there is no free lunch in the world. You can wear your contact lenses. Let me ask you this question, Ruth. Let's say that your legs were weak.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Would you be satisfied with getting crutches to walk with them and forget about their strength? Or would you invest some time in strengthening your legs, going to a pool to doing some water exercises, walking on the beach, until your legs are strong and you don't need crutches?
Well, I think that's a kind of rhetorical question, because obviously I would want to strengthen my legs. But
right.
I would notice that my legs were weak a lot more than I noticed that I can't see far
because
away.
Because everyone thinks that way about the legs.
Right.
But because doctors are giving us contacts and lenses, we call that normal.
Right.
And so what happens is we don't understand that whatever caused the eyes to see worse doesn't go away because you have crutches for the eyes.
No, that's true.
So once you become aware of that and you understand that the eyes are under deep stress, that is the worst stress you could have because you don't even feel it. And talking about the principles of adjustment of the eyes to light, we have to accept the strong sunlight as much as we have to accept the weak, the dim nightlight, something that most people don't do. So very quickly they wear sunglasses, they sit indoors a lot. I don't mind a hat that shades you, but I do mind sunglasses that don't let your pupils constrict enough and see enough of the daylight.
How does one deal with that, though? Because I know coming from England, I noticed that I started getting a lot more lines around my eyes from squinting because it's so much brighter here. So I didn't
wear a hat.
Okay.
Wear a hat. I mean, people stood underneath trees in the middle of the strong day.
Right.
But don't put sunglasses on because then you weaken your pupils.
Oh,
and you
okay.
need the pupillary constriction in order to have fixation in your eyes. And about the UV light, it's nonsensical what they're saying. Because we have our sunglasses within our eyes. It's called the melanin layer in the retina, and the melanin pigment in the area that feeds the retina, called the choroid. Don't want to tell too many names. But they've convinced, and truly, ophthalmologists believe that sunglasses are good for your eyes. And they're wrong. What they did is they convinced a bunch of aborigines to wear sunglasses. And first time in their life they got sunburn because of the fact that they didn't produce enough melanin for their body that include the retina and the skin. So I really think we should only wear sunglasses at sunset or if we are after a bedtime and the sun is too glary. But we have a wonderful sunning exercise where you close your eyes and you move your head from side to side with the eyes closed. You have no UV radiation. You move your head from side to side. As you face the sun, the pupils constrict. As you face away, the pupil expand. And the expansion, the constriction lead to activity of the pupil. So that's number one. Number two, we have to adjust to this week's nightlife. And right here, actually in the Santa Cruz area, you have some areas which are not dangerous to walk at night, especially if you walk in a group. And to walk for about half an hour, 45 minutes, it takes that long to wake up the rods of the retina. And I found out that when I take classes for night walk, like in the Golden Gate Park in San Francisco, next day they see way better because there's expansion. Why do we have glaucoma? Why do we have rigidity of our eyes and high pressure? Because we don't adapt to the night. We don't have nightlife. You sit with this fluorescent light right here in the studio. You could sit here at 10 in the morning or 10 at night with no difference.
Yes.
But truth of the matter is, there is a difference for the eye, for the human eye. I think that the light bulb was a mixed blessing in that on the one end, it moved the world. It moved industry. That's why I fly all over the place. That's how we can drive at night. On the other end, we are absolutely tempering with our night and day cycles. And we should really go to sleep a few hours after sunset, which is different in the winter and in the summer. Now, the next principle of looking at details, people stop looking.
Before we go on to that, I just wanted to ask you, because when I read that in the book about walking at night, I thought that was a fabulous idea, not just for your eyes, but just it would be so enjoyable. Should one do that without one's glasses or contact
absolutely.
Lenses?
Absolutely. Glasses okay. don't help you that much then anyway.
Okay.
Because you don't see centrally that well. You see peripherally better. And this is a very good time to do it without glasses. We do even something different. We put a small piece of paper on the bridge of the nose. We wave the hands to the side a little bit. Then we take the small piece of paper off. And the night becomes so much clearer to us. Because we wake up our periphery. In the past, people used to have daylight. Then sunset, then twilight, then they got used to the dark. In a very dark night, without stars, just with the clouds, you could see a candle from 16 kilometers or 10 miles.
Wow.
But these days, people have completely forgot their periphery. That's one of our big problems. Now, we need to learn to look at details. Now, I learned, for me in the past, the whole world was one big smear. And I learned to distinguish between details. The most important, the most precious part of our retina is the macula, M-A-C-U-L-A. So many people lose their macular vision. It all starts with wearing glasses and not paying attention to our eyes, you see.
And also there's an age-related macular degeneration.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the point is, the macula can only see a small detail at one time.
Okay.
And you need with your mind to move from detail to detail. And the moment that you stop doing it, you don't see as well. Jan today did with me an eye exercise where I saw a sign, I saw a letter, and then she pointed at each different letter today. So I focused and moved from detail to detail. Now, when you're an infant, you do it naturally. And when you're 8 weeks old, you just look at you see well from 2 feet. But then you start to look and you get stimulated. You look from detail to detail farther and farther. So your vision becomes better and better. But as you grow up, you stop paying attention to details. The room looks the same. What letters? You care about the contents, not about the letters. So you picture sometimes a page at a time, sometimes a paragraph, a line, a page. So you stop paying attention to detail, so you stop using your macula. And if, in spite of not paying attention to details, you wear glasses and you see them well, then what happens to you, you're on your way of losing the macula. It takes a few dozens of years, but most people end up losing the macula in the 70s and 80s.
So if you have macular degeneration, can you use your method to help reverse or improve that?
Absolutely. Although an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure, right?
Yes, right.
So you definitely can do it in that time, and I was surprised to see how well people can do it. I normally advise people to see me in the beginning of the degeneration. Well, all the doctors do with macular degeneration, they work on the wet kind, where there is bleeding.
Yeah.
But why is there bleeding? Because there's neck stiffness. There's neck stiffness, and because the eye is not so vital. So you can prevent the bleeding by making the eye more vital and loosening your neck. And we're doing that in our method as well. And then, you know, there's the principle of paying attention to your periphery. Most people forgot that there is periphery. You know, I always, in my lectures, one of my questions are, I'm asking who sits in a busy office. And I have a few people raising their hands. So, well, what happens if there's a commotion there? And they will normally say, I ignore it because I have to look at my document and my screen. I said, well, I understand that. What happens if I would send you to the jungle, you take a laptop with you, and you write about all of your adventures, and you wouldn't pay attention to your periphery? Would you be back a week later to tell us how you were doing? Normally they say, no, I'd probably be eaten.
Yeah.
So for a million years, our ancestors developed wonderful vision where there is hardly any vision. You sense things visually rather than really see them. So if you sense that something moves in your side, you move your head and you see, oops, there's a lion there. I have to take care of that. Or there's a rabbit there. I have to hunt this. That's what they did. Today, we ignore our periphery. That's why vision these days, because we don't look at details, we don't adapt to light, and also several other things that we don't do, we don't look at the distance. We're losing our vision in like such a speed that it's like an express train. It's like it's amazing what's going on. In the last 10 years, people see worse than they saw in the last 100 years before. The last 2 years, even worse.
That's amazing. Well, this is all super interesting. And if you've just joined the show, we're talking to Meir Schneider. If you want more information about his method and techniques and how he cured himself of congenital blindness, you can go to www.self-healing.org. O-R-G. And we're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to It's the Way of Love Live with me, Ruth Copeland, on KSCO AM 1080.
Can you awake what's sleeping deep inside you? Or will you be keeping it tucked away safe?
46 to 1964. There are an estimated 80 million baby boomers, with the first wave hitting the Social Security and Medicare systems in recent years, with more to follow. Many healthcare experts are predicting epidemics of Alzheimer's, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and cancer among this group. However, these impending epidemics can be averted, as there is a new group emerging. This group we call the baby bloomers, because despite their chronological age, they are still physically fit, active, working, and playing. They've heard Dr. Wallach's message regarding diet, lifestyle, and nutritional supplementation. So while many around them diminish in health and vitality, they are blossoming and blooming into vibrant, healthy, on-the-go people. Wouldn't you rather be a longevity baby bloomer? For more information or to order, call Andy or Phyllis Anderson at 888-245-0300. That's 888-245-0300.
Every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday from noon to 2, KSCO Presents makes you an offer you can't refuse. Listen to Ethan Behrman.
Various others at the top of the Democratic Party food chain around here. So we have Neil Coonerty in Santa Cruz, having his son follow him to be mayor of Santa Cruz. We have Neil Coonerty stepping down from the Board of Supervisors. And Ryan steps up to be handed that leadership role in the family business known as politics.
I know this guy. He didn't listen to Ethan Behrman on KSCO Presents. Next day, he woke up with a horse head in his bed.
Don't wake up with a horse head in your bed. Listen to Ethan Behrman on KSCO Presents, noon to 2 every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on KSCO AM 1080.
Hi, you're listening to It's the Way of Love Live with me, Ruth Copeland, and we've been talking to Meir Schneider about his amazing self-healing of his congenital blindness. Really quite inspiring. And we're going to be talking to him some more, finding out more about his techniques. And if you want to call in and ask about your specific sight issue, please do 479-1080, as always, here at KSCO. And in the second hour, we'll be talking to Michelle Newman, who is a sound healer and medical intuitive. And she works with voice, crystal bowls, games, non-judgmental safe places for people to express their deepest soul sense through music. So we'll be talking to her after the news at 6 o'clock. But right now, we're going to go back to Mayor Schneider. And I wanted to ask you, Mayor, obviously we've talked about some quite serious eye issues. And you were saying that you can help Macula's Generation, which is great for me. I already know somebody. I'm going to tell them to buy your book because they have that. But I was wondering about this prolific age-related long-sightedness. You know, everybody's got their reading glasses. And
you
I
mean the arm is too short, huh?
I just wondered what your thoughts were on that.
I think that it's so important to help it, and especially when it starts. Because what happens is the lens becomes stiff, the ciliary muscles become weak, and if you allow the lens to remain stiff, there's a good chance you get cataract, and eventually right. They remove your lens. So I really think that it is definitely possible to help, and it does take the exercise. Let's return to the point that it's worth doing them. And one of the reasons that I practice the way that I practice, I hope to make it our culture to start
right.
And take care of ourselves kinesthetically and spend the time that it takes to help ourselves. Let me repeat this one word, and I'm not the first one who said it. There is no free lunch. You cannot not take care of yourself and think that things will take care of themselves on their own. So improving your vision and strengthening your lenses is one of the most important things you could do.
And I know you said you also wanted to talk about helping not just your sight, but also your health in general.
You know how many muscles you have in your body?
No, not offhand.
600.
Wow.
Most people use only 50 out of them. And the ones that we use with tremendous amount of stress.
Right.
And people normally have a mild flexion, which means they bend kind of forwards.
Mm.
They don't bend backwards. They don't move sideways. I run on the beach bare feet about 4 times a week. About 5 miles or something of that nature.
Uh-huh.
And I can tell you that it's important for me to run sideways and backwards, sometimes to even run in a circle, you know,
uh-huh.
or move in a circle, to start and use what I normally don't use. For example, most people only flex their fingers, but they don't extend their fingers. Why mm-hmm. shouldn't you have arthritis in your 70s or 80s if your fingers did not have the full motion available for them?
Right.
Why shouldn't you have repetitive strain if you don't use the full activity of the hand? And we teach that because we confined our feet to shoes, we don't move our toes much.
Mm.
The toes become weak, so the ankles become stiff to hold the foot.
Mm.
And then the knees become stiff, the hip becomes stiff, the hip joints. Many people need a hip replacement.
Right.
Then the lower back becomes stiff, and that affects our digestion. Then the middle back becomes stiff, and then the neck becomes stiff, and then the jaw becomes stiff. So the whole body, in a chain reaction, starts to be in deep trouble. When we overuse a small portion of our muscles, which is the case of most humans these days.
Mm.
We don't climb trees. We don't climb caves. We walk with shoes on cement, which is jarring and confining. When that happens, the connective tissue hardens around the muscles that we always use, and our activities become hampered. And that's why one of our training is 10 hours a day of working on the body for 4 days in a row, then a day off, another 4 days in a row, 2 days off, and four more days.
10 hours a day.
10 hours a day. We do it.
One have time to do that?
No, you do it in my classes.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Then you take it home, and you make a point that you spend 45 minutes to an hour a day on your body. And you can divide it into moment by moment. But some things you do all the time. You don't stop blinking.
Mm.
You don't stop breathing. Every time that you sit, I would suggest for people to stand up, hold their leg, stretch and look upwards, breathe deeply, stretch the hip, and stretch the neck, and it would make a very big difference. I would also suggest for people to change shoes and walk bare feet whenever they can. And I would suggest for people to always pay attention to how do they sit on the chair that they sit on right now. Can they relax on their chair?
Mm.
Can they breathe deeply and sense that the chair holds their weight? So relax, move, and use muscles you never used before. In regular exercises, we overstress the muscles we always use.
Yes, that's very true.
And that wipes them out. We need to learn to use muscles we never used before and loosen up the muscles we always used.
Right. And also it seems because of how everything is becoming about the internet and devices, everything's forward, isn't it? You know, whether it's kids doing their Game Boy or, you know, the iPads, the iPhones.
Exactly.
And like you're saying, people are not ever kind of reaching back, or everything's curling and bending down. And that is a lot of strain
exactly.
in your neck, isn't
That's
it?
That's why I'm taking people for 10 hours a day to train them to do differently. We start by running backward on the beach. We do some trampoline work. We massage each other. We open physiology books and talk about the possibility the body has, the heart, the digestive system. Do you know, in your digestive system, you have as many nerve pathways as you have in your central nervous system.
I know this. And there's also serotonin receptors as
yeah,
well,
yeah,
like
absolutely.
In the brain. Yeah.
We can talk more and more about it, but the point is we do a lot of that in our classes, and we start to specialize in muscles we never specialized in. And what's the result? Complete transformation. You go back to life, and instead of straining your body, you learn new ways to work on it much, much better.
Well, I really want to recommend people get Mayer's book. I have been reading it, and it's very interesting, and I'm very inspired to start doing some of your exercises, because I have started to experience a bit of... I've not got to the point of needing reading glasses, but it's very irritating.
Look at your palm for a second, Ruth. Try to relax.
Okay, all right.
I know you're running a show. Look at your palm.
Okay.
You also. Can you read your lifeline? Huh?
Yes.
Look at it. Now, look at your nails. Put them, the other hand. Put your nails on your nose and move up and down from your, from between the eyes to the upper lip, back and forth. Look
now,
at both nails.
Full disclosure, I am wearing contact lenses. Is that going to affect?
Do it still.
Okay,
do it still.
All right.
Up and down. Look at the nails.
Oh.
Can you see your nails?
Oh, on my nose. Oh, sorry.
Can you see your nails?
Yes.
Can you see both of them?
Yes.
But go all the way down to your lip, to the upper lip, and up to your forehead. Down to the upper lip. An old audience, I know that you would see one nail at a time. I see both. But if you see one at a time, look from one to the other. Look up and down. Up and down.
I can see both of them like towards the bottom, but when
wonderful.
It goes up, then I don't see
so
them
then
so
look
much.
At one and then look at the other. Look one and look at that. Now look back at your lifeline. Look at your lines. How do they look to you right now?
Yeah, good.
A bit sharper, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's what you did. You have actually exercised the ciliary muscles of your lens. Those can be exercised. There are different exercises, more sophisticated exercises. Let me tell some other tips for home. For example,
okay.
Look at this computer screen or at anything, or look at me or at anything you see, and then put your two hands to the side.
Okay.
And you look straight and wave the two hands.
Uh-huh.
Towards you. Do you have a better sense of the hands when you wave them? Now wave above and wave below, and one hand above and one hand below, and one. Now close your eyes and visualize that you waved your hands. Open your eyes and wave them again. How do they appear to you? Same fuzziness or a little bit different? That's my question. And the other one is you put your hands down and have a sense if there's more light in the room. And let me explain to you the difference. When we do those exercises, we look straight, but we start to pay attention to the fact that there is periphery.
Right.
And when you use your computer, before you know, there's no floor, there are no walls, and there's no ceiling. There's only what's in front of you. That is something very terrible for the eyes. So peripheralizing everything that you use makes a big difference. The next step is to put a small piece of paper between the eyes so you look straight at the paper, and then it's much easier to see the side.
Now, these exercises are in Mayer's book, which if you're interested in getting, you can go to www.self-healing.org. O-R-G. And I wanted to ask you also, I saw it mentioned in your book that sleep can sometimes make people's vision worse. And I know with my son, he doesn't wear glasses or contacts, but he's a bit long-sighted. And when he wakes up, his vision is worse than when he goes to sleep. And
so he should do the exercise which is called palming before he goes to sleep.
Okay.
And palming when he gets up, because that really relaxes the eyes. So a few things he should do. He should rub his hands.
Okay.
And put his hands very gently around his eye orbits and do it for like 6 minutes and visualize you see darkness. In my family, with my kids, we used to talk about black fairies in the forest, mm-hmm. about dark caves, about dark forests. So we talk about blackness. So if you visualize blackness, you take away the images, the after images in the optic nerve, and you really relax your optic nerve. And when he wakes up, he should do it as well. After using the computer, he should put cold towel for 2 minutes around his eyes. Mm. And you'll see that he will wake up within a week with much less fuzziness.
And would that apply to using an iPhone or any kind of screen that you're looking at?
When you use an iPhone, before you use an iPhone, before you use a computer, you have to look for 8 or 10 minutes at a distance. You know, you live in one of the nicest places in the world. Not far away from here, we have the Capitola Beach, mm-hmm. State Park Beach, and you look at the ocean, and it's just so beautiful. I know I just left my kids there. You know, it is such a relief to look at a distance.
Mm.
And most of us look so much from near that we don't have an idea of how much we strain the eye, because the lens becomes convex and fluid accumulates in the back of the eye and makes the eye longer. Hmm. And that's how so many people lost their clear vision from near and from far. My dear friend, we must loosen the lens by looking at a distance. We must improve the eyes by paying attention to the periphery. It was even hard to start and teach you peripheral exercises in the first second. I would have to do more until you really learn them so well that you would include the periphery in your function, in your vision. It would make a very big difference. Your vision is better than many.
Yes. Well, we're coming towards the end of the show now. So
why is that?
Time. It's that time thing again. It's just, you know, at least.
You know, Einstein said that time doesn't exist.
Well, that's true. But I think in this kind of dimension of the KSCO studio right now, it is existing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because it's been great talking to you. So just again, I wanted to let people know that Maya has some brilliant books where all the exercises are explained so that you can help yourself reduce your prescription for your glasses and contact lenses, maybe even get rid of them entirely. And also you can go to courses with him at a school in San Francisco. And you can find information about all of that at the website, again, self-healing.org. And just finally, really quickly, I just wanted to say, are these exercises that really one should do for the rest of one's life to maintain health?
Well, let me ask you a question. If you stretch in a yoga class, do you have to do it again?
Oh, that's a very good answer. I like
So the point is, yes. The point is, again, something is missing for us. We're not deeply relaxing the eyes enough. We're not adjusting them enough to light. We're not looking at details. We don't pay attention to the periphery, and we don't look far in modern life. Let's compensate for modern life. Let's make the eyes alive and not allow them to be ill and degenerate. We can do it, and it takes a revolution, and it's starting in this show. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Mayor. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll be back after the news with Michelle Newman. You're listening to It's the Way of Love Live with me, Ruth Copland, on KSCO AM 1080.
I can tell you that it's better out than in. I can tell you now.
Your source for news, sports, traffic, and weather. AM 1080, KSCO, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Salinas, and Monterey.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The White House says President Obama was briefed again late today after his national security team met on the terrorist threat that's believed to have originated with Al-Qaeda in Yemen. CBS News correspondent John Miller says intelligence officials only have partial information.
They don't really know when the plot is going to be run or against exactly what. What they do have is a very good source that tells them the people for this plot have been picked, the plan has been made, and that they are getting ready to deploy.
Starting tomorrow, more than 20 U.S. diplomatic posts in the Muslim world will be closed, and the State Department has issued a warning to Americans traveling abroad. Interpol has issued a warning that hundreds of terrorists are at large after recent prison breaks in Iraq, Libya, and Pakistan.
Interpol is trying to alert its authorities, its network, to ensure people are aware of the concerns and are doing everything possible to not only find these people, but also to be wary of the threats they may pose.
CBS News national security analyst Juan Zarate says the prison breaks are believed to be the work of Al-Qaeda. CBS Sports is reporting that New York Yankee star Alex Rodriguez has been frustrated in his attempts today to negotiate a settlement with Major League Baseball. ESPN says he's likely to be suspended through the entire 2014 season, but Sean Gregory, senior writer at Time Magazine, tells CBS News that A-Rod could still be banished for life.
We have to see the evidence, but if he was obstructing with investigations, recruiting other players to Biogenesis, Bud Selig gets to send this message that what he did is as serious as what Pete Rose or anything else, anybody else did, if the lifetime ban is thrown out there.
Five people have died, 39 have been sickened in an outbreak of Legionnaire's disease at the Wesley Ridge Retirement Community in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. State Health Department spokeswoman Taffy Pollock says they found the source.
After water samples were taken and then grown in the lab, it indicated that there was Legionella bacteria within the potable water supply as well as the cooling tower at the facility.
The water supply has been decontaminated, but Pollock says more people might get sick from earlier exposure. A federal grand jury reportedly is looking into the company that conducted the last background check of Edward Snowden, the contract worker who leaked details of the National Security Agency's surveillance programs. Dion Nissenbaum of the Wall Street Journal says U.S. investigation services may have done a sloppy job.
The FBI and the grand jury have issued subpoenas to former USIS officials seeking more information about whether or not the company essentially rushed cases through the system, security checks through the system without a proper review in a push for higher revenue.
Snowden, much to the chagrin of the Obama administration, now enjoys temporary asylum in Russia. His next move, unclear. This is CBS News.
Do you live with stress? If you have nervousness or common everyday anxiety, we're looking for you. Because right now we're sending risk-free supplies of a fast-acting supplement to listeners of this station. You heard right. Every listener who calls right now will learn how to get a risk-free bottle of Stress Block, a naturally derived formula that promotes feelings of calmness, alertness, and focus in just moments. Supplies for this risk-free offer are limited, so don't wait. Just call 1-800-964-7476. Stress Block is a fast-acting, non-prescription formula to support relaxation without causing drowsiness. Your nervousness is guaranteed to begin fading like magic in just minutes. This special risk-free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Call us now for this exclusive Stress Block risk-free offer. Just call 1-800-964-7476. That's 1-800-964-7476. Call 1-800-964-7476.
Britain's Prince William made a public appearance at a polo match today, and everyone wanted to know how things are going with Prince George. Reporter Larry Miller has the story.
It's been less than 2 weeks of diaper changing, but new dad Prince William told spectators at a polo match it was good to get out of the house. Although he scored the winning goal, William admits to being spaced out in baby mode, and that when it came to polo, he wasn't in the zone. Ask about the little royal nipper, William says Prince George wiggles a lot. After the polo match, he did what most dads would do who'd left mom and baby at home. William said, first stop, picking up some diapers. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
Deer have become a real nuisance in Hastings-on-Hudson, a suburban town north of New York City. They destroy plants and shrubbery, and they cause car accidents. So if the state approves, village officials plan to try birth control. Does will be injected with a contraceptive in the hope of reducing the deer population. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Good evening, Central Coast. You're listening to KSEO AM 1080 Santa Cruz and KOMY 1340 Watsonville. The time is 6:05, and I'm Sam Quentin with your King of the Hill traffic and weather. Traffic right now, there are not any traffic accidents to report to you. There's a couple of areas of slowdown we'll let you know about, starting with Highway 1 northbound right around 41st Avenue. You'll slow down to about 20 miles per hour there. And then also southbound Highway 1 in Moss Landing area, right around Hilltop Road, Springfield Road, you'll slow down to about 20 miles an hour there. And also on Highway 101 north around Victoria Lane, speeds will be around 25 miles per hour through that area as well. Then down on Highway 1 south, past Carmel, Carmel Valley Road, speeds will be around 15 to 20 miles per hour in that area through there as well. Your KSCO Central Coast weather tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming cloudy, patchy fog after midnight. Tell you the truth, the fog's starting to roll in here outside the studio already. Lows in the mid-50s, south winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, expect mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming sunny. Patchy fog in the morning, highs in the upper 60s, and light winds becoming southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour in the afternoon. Currently, it's 76 degrees in San Jose, 72 in Boulder Creek, 61 in Watsonville, 64 in Salinas, and 62 degrees in Monterey. Right now, outside the KSCO studios, it is 60 degrees. And now, stay tuned for the second hour of It's the Way of Love Live.
You're listening to It's the Way of Love Live with me, Ruth Copland. Thank you again to Maya for coming in and talking with us. It was great to find that there's so many ways that we can help our sight and not have to rely on crutches, as he described it. It's true. We, you know, exercise lots of other things so that we don't have to have crutches. So it seems to make sense that we should do the same thing with our eyes. Well, in this hour, we're very fortunate to have with us Michelle Newman, who is based in Santa Cruz. She's a sound healer and medical intuitive. And she integrates her spiritual training and personal spiritual path with voice, crystal bowls, games, and provides a place for people to express their deepest soul sense through music. And there's been a lot of research into music and health, and research results and clinical experiences attest to the viability of music helping people, even in those patients who are resistant to other treatment approaches. And Michelle has a background in the arts. She's a Bay Area jazz vocalist, actress, and music teacher with a BA Theatre Arts and Education and a teaching credential, and also music education jazz specialization credential. She practices Lakota medicine. She's a cantorial leader of Shabbat in her Jewish community with her rabbi, and has also been studying the Kabbalah since 1993. And she also co-leads many interfaith events. So, Michelle, without more ado, I'd like to welcome you to the studio today.
Thank you so much, Ruth. I'm really happy to be here.
And I'm looking forward to finding out more about what you do. I understand that you work with cancer clinics as complementary medicine, and that you also work with individuals. And you're doing two kinds of work, I believe, or maybe they come together, the singing therapy and also the intuitive guidance. I was wondering if you could explain a bit to me about how those two work.
Well, they definitely come together. And as I say to people, we use music as the jumping off point. So music is the opening. The crystal bowls are extremely helpful in people to relax and to truly go inside and just be completely calm, which is very rare in our world. We don't have too many places where we can be absolutely calm and quiet. And so the crystal bowl immediately initiates that. It helps people to do that right away. As soon as we start playing, everyone in the room or an individual will just get as calm as could be. And it's easier for them to feel what's going on within. And some people call that your soul path or tuning into your inner self. And so as they do that, they start to feel what's real for them in this moment right now, not the schedule, not their to-do list, not what their body's been going through or what's going on at home or who's what's happening with different people, but just what is the most absolute truth for them in this moment right now. And as they do that, they can feel what needs to come out of their soul. And that is why I call it singing your soul song, because we're helping to bring out, to pull out the truth of your essence. And when we get to that point, at the same time, people are talking about what's going on for them, whatever that might be. It might be any situation. It might be how they're feeling. It might be something in their body. And especially with the women with cancer that I've worked with, it definitely is things in their body. And it's their perception of life at the same time. And so while they're talking about this, I start to feel what's going on with them. I just am able to just feel people's energy, and I am tuning into them, and I am simply observing them. And also, I've had a lot of training. I have certification as a spiritual director, and I had many years of that. It's the program I went through is called the Listening Heart. Mm-hmm. And so we had a great deal of practice for many years in what we call deep listening. And so I'm hearing what they're saying on a very deep level in a way that many, many people have never felt before. A lot of people haven't had this training, or they don't know how. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying. You know, people talk a lot, but they don't always hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And how many people have the ability to do what is called very deep listening. Mm-hmm. And so I'm practicing the deep listening. I'm observing their energy field and what's going on with them. And they're feeling more and more relaxed, and so I can tune in, and then I hold up the mirror. I don't really tell them, well, this is what's going on with you, or that kind of thing. It's not like I'm giving them advice or being a psychic. I'm mm-hmm. simply holding a mirror up, and I am listening to their words, because everybody has language that works for them. I mean, you can take the same concept or the same word and might have 10 different ways of saying it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm listening deeply, I'm hearing what they're saying, and I'm their mirror to feed back to them what's going on. So it's very different when you're telling somebody and when you hear it back from someone else. Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm, for instance, talking to you, I'm really feeding back exactly what you just told me in your words, and also observing your energy field and saying, ah, and so you feel this, or you need to do that, something like that. And then they go, yeah. And it's like they've never heard anybody voice it to them in quite that way before. Mm-hmm. They've never had that sort of response in quite that way. And then they can look at it. Then they get to hold it up, because they've received it, and it's in their head, it's in their mind, it's in their heart. It can even be almost physical. It's like they can feel it. Mm-hmm. And I always use the image of, you can hold it in your hands and look at it. And then you can start to really do something with it. So that's the long answer.
So I'm interested in knowing how the song part of it comes into that. I know when I was looking through some of the research that's been done with music therapy, one of the studies described it as people being able to put into words something that they wouldn't have been able to put into words in any other way.
Right.
And a lot of what you were describing is part of a therapeutic process.
Yes.
Especially Carl Rogers' approach to therapy.
Yes.
But obviously the music is bringing in another dimension to that kind of empathy and reflective listening. And could you explain a bit how you use song with people that you work with?
Absolutely. So Music. Everyone loves music. I've never met anyone who didn't love music, whatever type, doesn't matter. Music is relaxing. People equate music as, now I can relax. I can dance. I can listen. I can chill. I can be calm. I can do whatever I want because it's fun. And I'm going to take a step back here. I'm going to talk about when I was a music teacher. Children love singing. All children love to sing. It's just, it's thrilling for a child to sing. Indigenous groups all sing. Tribes sing. They don't ever stop singing. When children start to sing, especially in the United States or in a modern society, I'm not going to say this happens in Europe, but I'm guessing in many places that are more modern, the children are singing until maybe the boys, somewhere around six, mm-hmm. might start learning it's not okay. It's not a manly thing to do. And somewhere they start, you know, they get peer pressure. They hear, they watch men. Men don't just burst into song. Mm-hmm. And so around 6 years old, in my observation, the boys will tend to stop singing. It's the rare one that continues to want to sing after mm-hmm. maybe seven or eight. The girls, excuse me, the girls will go a little longer, maybe 9, 10, sometimes 11, when they love to sing, and then all of a sudden they're thinking, oh, this is not cool, we're not supposed to do it. They get a lot of peer pressure at school, especially in the United States.
Right.
Like, this is not okay. Hmm. And there's a few of them that make it through, they stay in choir, and they keep on going. So it's not okay for us to just sing. Now, throughout my time as a music teacher, I had more parents come up, hundreds, really hundreds of parents come up to me over and over and say, I used to love to sing when I was a kid, but someone told me I didn't sound good. A music teacher, mm-hmm. a parent, some adult, somebody said, ew, you sound terrible.
Yeah.
And they shut up. So now let's move into the psychological realm. Imagine a child's having fun. They're singing. They're just happy. They're doing whatever they want to do. And their energy field is big, and they're just very joyful. All of a sudden, someone says, you sound terrible. You sound awful. That's not okay. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the statement. All of a sudden, it shuts them down.
Yeah.
Now, they're wondering, what did I do wrong? Is that not okay? I'm not supposed to do this. They learn it's not okay to be free. It's not okay to do what they want. Kids sing the silliest thing. They sing about nothing. They go sing-songy about uh-huh. everything. They just have so much fun making it up, doing whatever. And then they stop. Then it's not okay. Now they're shut down. And then they grow up.
Mm.
So now we have a bunch of adults running around saying, oh, I'm not supposed to do this. It's not okay. I'm shut down.
Yeah.
Everybody goes to therapy, right?
Yeah.
Well, when we allow the opening through music, because it's so much fun and they equate music with fun, it's much easier for them to start to sing their soul song.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a lot of things for people to help them relax. We have lots of different exercises, lots of games, all kinds of things before they're getting into singing their soul song.
Right.
But now I'm going to finally get to answering your question. And that is, as people are singing their soul song, sometimes we get to places where they're very deep and meditative, and they start writing in their journal, and they might have words that come up, or they might have a feeling that comes up, or sensing something, whatever is running through them at this time. And if they can start to sing it, now they're using the music for something that is a vehicle. Now
right.
it's helping them to really open themselves, and singing is relaxing. It's fun. It's not the same. If they're talking, for instance, if I say to you, well, I really have an issue with, then all of a sudden it's like therapeutic, it's complaining, whatever. But if you're just singing about it, it's just really lots of fun.
I'm just reminded of Elf, where he's just like, I'm singing,
yes,
I love singing.
That's right, exactly.
Singing everything.
You got it. That's exactly right. And for instance, I'm going to give you an example of that. Recently, I had a mother bring her 9-year-old daughter to me, because she thought I could help. The daughter was having all kinds of issues, anxiety, fear, scared, not getting along with kids at school. She didn't.
Uh-huh.
She felt like she didn't belong. You know, the other kids she thought were mean to her, et cetera, et cetera. And it took a while. we had to go through all kinds of different exercises and process to the point where she started writing her own words down. And then, because I'm a musician, I helped her put a melody to it. You know, I don't expect them to come up necessarily with a melody, although some people do. And I helped her put a melody to it. Now, she and I are playing around and we're singing, and I really chose a fun, upbeat melody for her to sing her own feelings and what's really going on.
Uh-huh.
And then her mother all of a sudden pulls out the iPhone and starts videoing it.
Oh.
I hadn't done that before.
Right.
And I'm going, oh, I just do this every time. Because they took the video home, and now this little girl is watching it whenever she gets anxious or concerned or upset, you know, whenever anything isn't going wrong. They just watched the video, and the mother wrote me a testimonial about it, and she said my daughter is singing this video every time, and she knows it really well, and she always laughs when she watches it.
Aww.
And it's really making her happy.
Uh-huh.
And the little girl told her mother, well, Michelle really helped me change my life, because now she has something, a tool.
Uh-huh.
She
yeah.
can use this as a tool, and it's helping her feel different.
Right.
And she's having fun with it. And now, and the words were all about her situation, how she can change it.
Yeah.
And she wrote the words completely herself. I guided her, of course, but
yeah.
she came up with them. They were her words.
Oh, that's great. I thought for a minute you were going to say that when the mother started filming, she stopped, because you know how a lot of kids are very self-conscious.
Yeah.
But that just shows how much she really was singing her soul song.
She truly was. She absolutely was.
So we are going to go to a commercial break now, but we're going to be back with Michelle Newman, hearing more about her sound healing after the break. So stay with us. You're listening to It's the Way of Love Live with me, Ruth Copland, on KSCO AM 1080.
Why does the United States spend the largest percentage of GDP in the world on health care? Why do we have the highest cancer rates on the planet, the highest rates of diabetes, autism, and every other major disease? It all comes down to one thing. We are what we eat. Our food is devoid of nutrition and processed with poisons and additives. Our water is filled with toxic poisons and big pharma runoff. We can turn the tide against those who seek to profit by making and keeping us unhealthy by giving ourselves the nutrients our bodies desperately need. To learn more, go to KSCOhealth.com. The site is literally packed with audio and video featuring top health professionals who don't bow down to Big Pharma. The fight against servitude starts with you, and you can't stand against the machine if you are sick, tired, and obese. When you visit KSCOhealth.com, be sure to check out the catalog with nearly 400 life-changing products and get free shipping when you sign up for auto ship.
Have you ever watched a group of motorcycles roar on by and wondered, who are those guys? Where are they going? Well, now you can eavesdrop in on their biker world right here on KSCO 1080. A half hour of biker news, clues, and interviews with me, Biker Bob, and some of the motorcycling world's interesting celebrities. Biker Bob Radio on KSCO 1080.
Don't miss Biker Bob Radio every Sunday at 3:30 right here on AM 1080 KSCO. Remember, that's Sunday at 3:30 on KSCO.
Have you ever watched a group of motorcycles roar on by and wondered, who are those guys? Where are they going? Well, now you can eavesdrop in on their biker world right here on KSCO 1080. A half hour of biker news, clues, and interviews with me, Biker Bob, and some of the motorcycling world's interesting celebrities. Biker Bob Radio on KSCO 1080.
Don't miss Biker Bob Radio every Sunday at 3:30 right here on AM 1080 KSCO. Remember, that's Sunday at 3:30 on KSCO.
With It's the Way of Love Live. with me, Ruth Copeland, and my guest today on this hour, Michelle Newman, who is using music and singing to help heal people. And I wanted to ask you, Michelle, you've done quite a lot of work with people in cancer clinics, and I wondered if you wanted to talk about your work a little bit. I've got a quote here from somebody, one of your clients, saying, "I came here very anxious and my heart was afibbing. Now my mind is clear and more open and my anxiety is gone. I love the clear vibration of the healing crystal bowl. It feels like a living organism that enters my chest cavity and is so relaxing. Your voice is also relaxing and beautiful. You sing all the right tones. I see how this can improve cancer symptoms, very conducive to healing and relaxation." So I wanted to ask you about how you use the crystal bowl, and perhaps just for listeners who are not familiar with what a crystal bowl is, we should just describe it, what it actually is.
Okay. The crystal bowl, the one I particularly have, is called an alchemical crystal bowl, and it's made of crystal and gold. Now, there are many different types of crystal bowls. They're in the alchemical crystal bowls, they can be mixed with all kinds of things like ruby or emerald or many different types of stones and metals.
The base crystal is quartz, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, but as you can see, this one is blue, so it's mm-hmm. not like many people have seen the white crystal bowls, which uh-huh. are just pure quartz crystal.
Yes.
The ones I like to use are the ones that are mixed with different, they use different gems, and they have different energies about them. And so I'd like to talk about Dr. Mitchell Gaynor, if I will. That is, he is a oncologist in New York City.
Okay.
He wrote a book called The Power of Sound, which changed my life, and I just love that book. I often recommend it to many people. He is a well-respected oncologist by the AMA, the American Medical Association, and he had a Tibetan monk that came to him who had cancer, and he started learning about the Tibetan bowl that the Tibetan monk used for his own meditation. And he was playing with that, and then from that led him to the crystal bowls. He started playing with the crystal bowls. Well, being a doctor and a scientist, he wanted to check out the crystal bowls. He put cancer cells under the microscope, and he watched how the cancer cells could not reproduce when the crystal bowl was being playing.
Wow.
They disorganized themselves so much to the point that they were not capable of reproducing. And he has come to the conclusion that it's really important to use the crystal bowls with his cancer patients who are in chemo and radiation. And they come to his office however many times, maybe once or twice a week, for what he calls his crystal bowl healing.
Mm-hmm.
Because to be able to get that relaxed, and the fact that your cells are disorganizing, that they can't reproduce, he feels that it's part of his cancer healing program.
Now, does the tone of the bowl make a difference in the healing?
Yes. I think many sound healers would say absolutely. And at the same time, if the sound healer is just choosing one that feels right, it's probably okay. I don't think you need to be that specific. You
right.
can be
uh-huh.
very specific with the individual.
Yes.
That's a long discussion. You can be very specific about which note is being used
uh-huh.
for that person. And,
right.
You know, many different notes work on many different aspects of your body, many different energy centers.
More complex.
It gets very complicated. I tend to want to use this one, which is a G sharp, and when you hear the tone, you'll see what it does. And so it's like it helps lift up your frequency and relax and just allow your whole energy to just fly, mm-hmm. feel angelic. I don't know what term to use for it. People, most cancer people all say, it's so relaxing, I feel so peaceful. I hear that over and over. It's so relaxing, I feel so peaceful. Mm. When a person has cancer, it's really hard to feel peaceful.
Yes.
It is extremely hard. And so the crystal ball just puts them immediately, the second it starts to play, they feel a great peace. They feel calm. They feel relaxed. Their body isn't so crazy achy.
Mm-hmm.
I think the same woman that you read her testimonial, she said, my body feels different. It doesn't feel like it usually does.
So obviously it's working on a cellular, if not a quantum level.
Absolutely.
And I know the research that I was looking at, which was all different kinds of research, but this particular one was from the Southern Medical Journal, Kemper and Danhauer, and they said music appears to exert direct physiologic effects through the autonomic nervous system.
Right.
So I'm sure we would both think it's operating on all kinds of levels, not just on a physical level, but obviously that it does have a very physical response as well.
Yes, I want to take what you're saying and talk a little bit more about the vibration, the frequency that's happening. Our bones are similar to the composition of apatite crystals. And so our bones, our whole cellular structure starts to vibrate when the cell, when the crystal bowl is being played. Your cells are vibrating. Every single thing in your body that moves starts to vibrate and tune in to the crystal bowl.
Mm.
And so this whole vibration is happening. You're tuned into the crystal bowl. Now take it another level out. Physicists will often speak about the frequency that's happening around us. There's an energy field, and that's vibrating. So our inner selves are vibrating, the bowl is vibrating, everything around us is vibrating.
Mm.
Well, when everything is vibrating together with the same tone, we're in harmony.
Mm.
We're tuned in to what is the harmonic field.
Yes.
And that is what helps to create well-being and peace within, peace of mind, peace of body. And so, as you can see, this particular discussion can go on and on,
yes,
too, because it brings in physics, it brings in what is seen in the whole universe as what is the vibrational level.
Yeah. And I think, you know, music today, or in recent times, has become more of just an enjoyment type of thing. But if you go back into the past, in ancient China, for instance, they had court orchestras that they really believed that the music they created affected the stability of their whole empire.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's true in many different cultures.
Yeah.
That they feel that there's a specific group in Africa, a tribe that felt that they actually would talk about singing your soul song, and they the mother, when she's pregnant, goes out into the wilderness to hear what her child's song is, and it's sung as the child is being born, not just by her, but by her group, her tribe. They're singing it to the child, and they sing this soul song to the child. They're singing their particular song to them every step, at every life cycle, at every part of their life.
Mm.
And they sing it at a wedding, they sing it at death, they sing it as they're growing up, they sing it as they're moving from one phase of childhood to the next. And and they also sing it if anything ever goes wrong, when the person, if they do something wrong, or they, you know, have misstepped,
transgress, or
whatever it is, the tribe gathers around and sings in their soul song to help them remember who they are, so that they're going to be on their right path.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, I want to let listeners know, if you want to find out more about what Michelle does, or to go to one of her workshops or have an individual session with her, and she works in person by Skype or by telephone, you can call 475, that's 831 area code, 475-5554, 475-5554. And she has a Facebook page, which is Sing Your Soul Song. And if you were interested in the Skype, it's HODA18, HODAH18. So I'm just kind of itching to hear the crystal ball. I don't know if you feel like this is the time to do it.
It feels right to me.
Yes, okay.
So we've got them set up here. We just, I just need to turn on the microphones.
Okay.
I'm going to turn off that microphone. So just for the listeners, I'm just going to tell you that the bowl is about 10 to 12 inches wide and about the same high. It's a beautiful blue, and Michelle is using what looks like the inner tube of kitchen towel, but it's solid that she's going to...
It's called a wand.
Okay, she's using a wand, thank you, that she's going to run along the outside edge, much as, I don't know if you've ever used a crystal glass to run your finger around when it's wet and create that sound. That's kind of what she's going to be doing. So I just wanted to create a visual for you of what I'm seeing, and she looks lovely in a vibrant turquoise t-shirt. So
and this bowl is called Dolphin Essence. So it has the energy of dolphin play, it has the energy of long life, it has the energy of health and well-being, and that is the essence and the energy with which this bowl was played.
Okay, lovely.
With which this bowl was made.
Made, right.
And played.
Okay, well, going to be peaceful now and listen. Thank you, Michelle. That was lovely.
The ball's still going.
It is.
It goes on and on.
I'm not sure if listeners will have been able to hear all the different frequencies of the bowl. I'm not sure. We've never done this before, trying how crystal bowls work on live radio. So I hope you listeners out there got a good experience from that. But I can tell you that being in here, it was really fabulous. Very relaxing, even though I'm sitting here monitoring the different sound levels and got my brain engaged, I was still able to really get a sense of how peace-inducing that would be.
Especially if it goes on for 5 or 10 minutes.
Right, yes, absolutely. And I think that sort of resonance of the bowl, which is... there's almost a sort of pulsing. I don't know, again, if that came across to listeners over the airwaves, but the sound sort of pulses, gets stronger and recedes. And I think there's something quite primal feeling about that. It's not a drum beat, but it's that kind of, I don't know, like an ebbing and flowing of the seas or the in and out breath of the universe or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. You just named it. It's very visceral. And you can really feel it in terms of the motion. The ebb and flow is the perfect word.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go to another commercial break now. But please stay with us. We're going to hear more from Michelle Newman in the last part of the show. And you're listening to It's the Way of Love Live with me, Ruth Copland, on KSCO AM 1080.
What's left every Monday from 2 to 4 p.m.? It's Alex Darnell, who takes a progressive approach to the stories and issues that affect us all. Alex wants to know what you think as well. If you agree with him, great. If you disagree, even better. Alex invites you to participate. So tune in to What's Left every Monday from 2 to 4 p.m. for Alex Darnell on your Listen and Be Heard radio station, KSCO AM 1080.
Alright, everybody, listen up. VitaminGoddess.com. That's right. VitaminGoddess.com or VitaminGod.com. What are you laughing at? Come on. You've heard me for years proclaim the advantages of getting all your essential supplements, vitamins, and minerals. But of course, where else? VitaminGoddess.com. You can remember that. VitaminGoddess.com. VitaminGoddess.com. Come on. Or VitaminGod.com. Why? Because it seems like everybody and their monkey's uncle is on the internet. So why not you? And if you are, check it out. Go see a beautiful website and a beautiful way to get all your supplements. VitaminGoddess.com or VitaminGod.com. And remember, may you live long and prosper.
Hey, I'm Ethan Behrman. Join me each week on Smoke-Filled World as I cut through the smog of politics and current events to bring key issues and the figures behind them into sharper view. Listen and find out what's going on in the world and why. Guests, news, politics, issues, insight, and your calls. Each week with ideas that are left, right, and straightforward. Listen to Ethan Behrman's Smoke-Filled World, 6 to 8 p.m. Sundays here on Listen and Be Heard Radio, AM 1080, KSCO.
With It's the Way of Love Live with me, Ruth Copland. And if you like this music that I've been playing, I wanted to let you know that it's from an album called Pacific Rim by Anton Mizorak, who is a California artist. He has many albums out, wonderful musician. And if you were interested in hearing him play live, he's going to be in this area next Saturday at the Seaside Yoga Sanctuary in Seaside at 7 p.m. August 10th. And if you wanted to get information about that, you could go to shastasong.com. Shastasong.com. But right now, we're here in the studio with Michelle Newman. We've been talking about her wonderful work with singing therapy and intuitive guidance. And I just want to let you know again that if you wanted to contact her, you can call 831-475-5554 for more information. Or you could go on Facebook, and her page is Sing Your Soul Song. So I wanted to ask you, Michelle, looking through your description of what you do, you speak about trying to bring about a healing integration in people, and I wondered how you would characterize that or explain that.
I'm going to start with when my mother had cancer. I went through her whole journey with her, and it was the first time I became aware that she had a lot of fears and a lot of negativity running through her body. And she was very ill, and she was in very deep pain. And I just observed her, and I was astonished because I didn't know all these things were inside of her. She had never really let on, and I hadn't picked it up, what was really going on with her in terms of her fears, etc. And so I became really aware of that. And then I had other friends with cancer after that, and I started watching them. And meanwhile, I was also going through the certification process to become a spiritual director. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of things that happened at once. And I started to watch people in a different way and hear what they were saying in a different way. And I could see that there were so many things unsettled within them. Mm. And as one of my clients has said, I went through therapy for many, many years, and none of it has helped the way you have. And she told me this is life-changing, because when I address what's going on with them, with people who have a devastating illness, I see that there's a lot of negativity, sadness, fears, all kinds of things that aren't contributing to what I can say, uplifting them into a joyful frequency.
Right.
And they're sick. And I'm thinking, well, this all goes together. There are many people who have written a lot of books about illness and not feeling good and certain negative attitudes. I don't want to say attitude. That really isn't the right word. But just having negativity inside of them. It's like all these things, a fear can get lodged in your body. Mm. It can really, it's like it can get stuck, and you feel it in a physical way. A lot of people say, well, I have butterflies in my stomach, or I have this dark feeling in the pit of my stomach, because the stomach is a place where people really feel things. Mm-hmm. In their heart and in their mind. And if their mind is constantly running with certain negative things, mm-hmm. and they're always telling themselves these things, and then they get sick. And so all of these things are intertwined with each other. All of these elements mm-hmm. are intertwined with each other. And so I really started observing this. And then I started tuning in more to what I would call my intuitive self, which I think I've felt my whole life. I felt it as a child, but of course I learned it wasn't okay to use it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the more I lived, after a while, it's like, well, I feel this and I've got to use it. I have to let it out, in the same way that the people I work with have to let something else. Mm. And so the more that I let out my intuitive self and I tune in to what I would call the intuition, the more I can see how the elements in them, in their body, mind, soul, and heart mm-hmm. are coming together to create whatever's happening right now. Mm-hmm. And so what I help people to do is to unpack the elements, to deconstruct the different elements that are making up their life right here, right now, in this mm-hmm. moment. And so if they say something or feel something, I'll say, let's really look at that. What is that thread? What is that strand? Where does that one go? Now let's look at this one. And you said five things already, so hold on, take a deep breath, because people move fast. It's a fast-moving world. People will say things really fast and then move on. And then they'll say another thing and then move on. Mm. And so what I do is help them to slow down and to look, what is this thread that you're saying and where does that go? Mm-hmm. What is this thread? What's that energy? What's this one? And so now they're having a full picture of themselves after working with me for a few sessions. Mm-hmm. They have a really full picture of themselves in a different way that they didn't have before. Mm-hmm. And they can start to observe and look at things and think about things and feel and sense in a different way than they did before. And so that's how I actually work with them in terms of the process and what they're going through.
Mm. I'm sort of feeling a thread here with our earlier guest, Meir Schneider, because he was talking about how the fact that we are so focused on so few things and things are going fast, we're just not taking in detail anymore. And in the way that he meant with vision, he was meaning like seeing a dewdrop on a rose petal. So that equates in what you're saying to slowing down, you know, to actually taking time to smell the roses,
right,
or to see the dewdrop on the rose,
right,
and allow ourselves to get out of that fast kind of channel that we're all increasingly in. I know myself, I just feel time is just speeding up, and you're on this train. You have to consciously get off and think, right, I'm going to stop at this station and enjoy this beautiful little village for a while or whatever, which it sounds like that's what you're helping people to do.
Yes.
And I think music is very, very powerful for that. And there is, I keep quoting some research because I just wanted listeners to know that this isn't just a kind of like, oh, I'm going to, you know, be around and do some bells and you'll feel better or whatever. There's been a lot of research that's shown how much music can really affect people. It's not just social proof. There is scientific proof that also shows that for people in very difficult situations, such as people with cancer, they're able to release emotions that they can't access otherwise.
That's a fact. It's true. That is absolutely true. And I wanted to say before, when you were speaking about slowing down, smelling the roses is not just a cute little saying. It's really needed. It truly is. And for people to feel centered, to just really feel a calm center within, because the world does move fast.
Yeah.
And it does feel like time is speeding up. And the more that we can feel centered within, and I'm putting my hand right on my heart right now, straight up, because that's the center of our body. It's the center of our being. And so when you can feel centered right here and truly say, I am responding to my world from a centered place, it's much more harmonious and calm, and you don't feel distracted or whacked out or crazy.
Right.
It's really important to stay that way. And I also heard Meyer.
I think it's Meir.
Meir, excuse me. I heard Meir as I was waiting out in the hall, and I loved what he said. He said, we focus on the computer screen and everything else disappears. The floor disappears. The ceiling disappears. And I just, I could really feel that image, because he says we're not feeling the whole picture. What I just described, the different strands of our lives, the different energies going in different ways.
Mm.
The audience can not see my hands, but Ruth can see my hands. My hands are going out like rays of a sun. I'm moving my hands in like one ray here, one ray here, one ray here, different directions around a center.
Yes.
Because our lives are so full and big with rays and energies that go every different direction.
Mm.
And when we can step back from just staring and focusing on the screen, in other words, we have an expectation in our society that we have to be very focused.
Yes.
And yet when you can step back from that focus and just feel all the different energies that are happening, you can be very calm and you can tune in to a lot more than if it's all about this situation right here.
Yes.
In other words, whatever the situation is in front of me, take a step back.
Yeah.
And look at a bigger picture.
And allow connection, because, of course, when you're just focusing on one thing, it's very disconnecting, isn't it?
Yes,
and I think our society is going in that way of just being disconnected from each other and the world and the universe and everything around us. So I think it makes sense that the healing integration that you spoke of is about bringing all of that together. And what Meir said about noticing our periphery, he was talking in terms of purely a vision, but it also works as a metaphor for what you're talking about, I think, of just noticing all the beauty and amazing things around us.
Exactly.
And within us, of course.
And it's more than a metaphor. For me and for the people that I work with, it's real. It's like, what is the whole picture? Look in the periphery of your life. Look in the periphery of your energy. Look in the periphery of the feelings and what you've been going through. Because in the periphery, periphery is often the answer.
Yes. And I know you've done a lot of work with people who are very seriously ill, but you also work with people with no illness presenting who just want to find out more about themselves, be happy. How would you explain that?
I would say I started with people with cancer because that's where I focused originally, and that came from working with my mother and other people, and it seemed like a good place. But the more I told people about what I was doing, a lot of people would say, well, oh, that sounds like something I'd like to do, because many people want to open up their own soul. They want to be on their soul path. They want to feel their spiritual nature. And so at this point, about half of my clientele is actually not with devastating illness, but they do need a change. They need a big change in their life, and they need to really, really open up to a different aspect of their spiritual nature.
And I can imagine maybe that what you're doing could be more accessible to some people who perhaps don't aren't attracted to traditional therapy forms, where it's a lot of talking or whatever, and you think, well, I don't know what I would say, or I don't want to dig up everything and go over my whole life or whatever, you know. So for people who perhaps aren't attracted to therapy, which of course can be wonderful and work in lots of ways, but this is another way in, isn't it?
It is. It's another tool. There are many, many tools. I mean, people use tapping and people do, you know, I mean, people will say dancing or other things. There are many, many tools, and this is one of them.
I mean, I have to say that I think creativity is a wonderful way to access parts of ourselves and heal ourselves. And I actually studied creative arts as part of my master's in counseling, creative arts therapies.
And how wonderful.
I think, you know, I focus a lot on art therapy. I think it works, you know, it's a similar way of forming an expression of yourself that disengages your mind, because I imagine if you're singing or you're making up a song, it doesn't even have to make sense, does it? You know, you can just do whatever you want, and that's the part of what's freeing.
Right, and we're in right brains, so there's no boundaries.
Yeah.
We're being very creative, and that's the fun part. That's why people have such a good time.
And I wanted to read another testimonial of one of your clients. They said, my playful self is coming out more. I started singing out loud while walking at the beach and didn't even stop when people walked by. I feel like a child having fun. I feel like I'm clearing out so much physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And that was someone who was in remission from cancer. So that's a great testimonial to what you do. And again, I want to let people know, if you are interested in contacting Michelle, her number is 831-475-5554, and her Facebook page is Sing Your Soul Song. So we have covered a lot of things here. I'm so happy that you came in today, Michelle. It's been lovely having you on, and also hearing the crystal bowl. That was brilliant.
Thank you so much, Ruth. It's been wonderful to be here. I really appreciate you asking me to come in. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I definitely would encourage people to go to Michelle's Facebook page and get more information about what she's doing.
And remember to like my page. The more likes, the better, of course.
What do you do with all those likes?
Well, they help people notice you.
Right. It's that thing in life again, isn't it? Of people, kind of the way people measure things. There's another whole subject.
Right. Well, we don't need to go there right now.
No. Yes, so like Michelle's page, facebook.com, Sing Your Soul Song. And we're going to go out to the news now with some music again from Anton Mizrak's album, Pacific Rim. And again, if you were interested in hearing him play, he's going to be playing next Saturday, August 10th at 7 p.m. at the Seaside Yoga Sanctuary in Seaside. And you can find out more about that at shastasong.com. So, Michelle, thank you again. And I want to let listeners know that Raquel and MC are hopefully having a great time now. They'll be back next week. But you're listening right now to me, Ruth Copland, on It's the Way of Love Live. And we hope to see you next week. And remember that if you're not near a radio, you can always listen to the live stream on KSCO.com, wherever you are in the world. So we encourage you to do that. Don't miss a show because you're not near a radio. And also there is a podcast available of the show at the website. It's The Way of Love, so you can always listen to that too. Have a great day.
Your source for news, sports, traffic, and weather. AM 1080, KSCO, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Salinas, and Monterey.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Starting tomorrow, more than 20 U.S. embassies and